This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him."
In one of our songs we sang earlier this morning, we were reminded of the promise that we have been given that God is with us always. The older I get, the more precious that is. I've seen many that I have loved and leaned on in the past who are now gone. Can't talk to them anymore. Can't depend on them like I once did. But God's always there. Praise God. Praise God for being there for us and for this wonderful relationship he offers us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're here today to thank him for that, to try to draw closer to him because we need to be closer, and we're just glad that we can be together as we are right now. We're so glad you're here with us because you help us to accomplish what we want to accomplish, and that is to sing and to praise and to glorify our God. And thank you for being here with us. We have visitors with us today. We're really glad that you've come our way. Others that we have that have been a very real part of our lives, and Charlotte Chapman is here with us this morning. Isn't that great? Charlotte is here with her daughter-in-law Carol, and we're just so glad to see them both. But Charlotte and our late beloved Jean, wow, what a vital part they were of this family. And we just are glad that we can have this time with Charlotte. She's going to leave us again, though, and go back to Texas, so enjoy the time right now. But we're glad you're here with us today, Charlotte. Others of you, we're really glad you're here. If you're visiting with us, stick around. Let us get to know you. And if we can help in any way, we want to do that. One other message. Simon says, "Be back here at 6 o'clock. "Simon Says" is the title of a series of lessons that we're doing on Sunday evenings on the letter of 1 Peter. And we're finding this letter has such practical information. It is so helpful for those of us that are trying to live our lives the way we should. So we want you to come back and be with us tonight. We're going to be talking about the first part of chapter 2, and the idea there is give priestly service. So Simon says, be back here, and let's give God priestly service. I really hope you'll come out and join us, 5:45, bodybuilders, the kids will meet in here. 5 o'clock, we're going to have a training session for those that want to help out in the prison ministry without actually going to the prison, and there are significant things you can do in that way. So come out and listen to what we're going to be talking about there, but let's get our Bibles out now. Get your Bible, turn it on if you've got an electronic device, and let's find what the Lord has that will help us greatly. We often struggle to do things that are good for us. I mean, we're told, for example, how important it is that we exercise regularly, that we put money away in a savings account. We're told that we need to be flossing our teeth. But those are hard things to do, aren't they? Until we learn why. Why is so important. And once we understand and once we really grasp the idea, then it's a little bit easier. Maybe not easy, but it's more likely that we're going to do those things if we understand why. I wonder, is prayer one of those things like flossing for some of us? I mean, we know that God wants us to pray. That's very clear in the Bible. And yet, do we do it regularly? Is it something we just do in an emergency situation? It's good for that, But is that the only time that we do it? And maybe, again, the problem is we don't understand why. We're beginning today a three-part series that we call Prayer Basics. Most of you know some of these things, if not all of them, but we want to refresh our minds. We want to remember why it is that it's so important that we become people of prayer, and there's so much information in the Word of God that will help answer the question why. So again, get your Bible, follow along with me. I'll try to give you time to get to each passage before I begin reading it. I want you to know if I'm telling you the Word of God or not. If not, then don't listen to me. But if it is, then this is God's Word. Let's follow it. So let's get into the Word together. I'm going to begin by talking about a very obvious idea that we've already mentioned, and that is that Christians are expected to pray. Christians are expected to pray. One of the shortest verses in the Bible is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. You know this. You don't even have to look this up. Pray without ceasing. Now, we don't take that literally, do we? Because that would mean, literally, that that's all we do. We don't have time to eat. We don't have time to sleep. Can't go to work because we're busy praying. We don't take it literally. But do we take it seriously? Because what Paul is saying there is always rely on prayer. Don't let there be a time in your life where you're not praying to God. And that's such an obvious idea. It's so basic. I mean, again, we don't have to spend minutes or hours memorizing that verse, pray without ceasing, something good that we ought to put up on our bathroom mirror, perhaps. Well, let's look at Christ for just a couple of minutes. Christ, because in his life, there is that emphasis on prayer, and we are followers of Christ, right? So let's think about a couple of things here. Matthew chapter 6 that was just read to us. Look at it again with me. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. Now, there's a lot more that we could look at in this chapter, in other passages of the Gospels, but this alone should tell us Christ expects us. In fact, he assumes that we're going to be praying people. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, not if you pray, or if this happens to be one of your gifts, no, we can all pray. And Christ says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, again, notice the assumption there. Go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And there again, Jesus simply is saying, my followers are going to be people of prayer. That's been true all throughout the ages in the Bible, in the Old Testament. God expected his people to be people of prayer. And here Jesus reinforces the idea. He says, God will be there. God will know what you're asking. In fact, he'll already know what you need before you ask him. And that might say to some of us, well, why do I need to pray if God already knows that I need it? Well, Jesus said, that's still what we do. We are people of prayer. And let me note a couple of examples of Jesus just quickly. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, and there's four or five statements like this in the Gospels, but just notice the message here that we ought to really reflect upon. Mark 1 and verse 35, talking about Jesus rising very early in the morning while it was still dark. He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Get up early? Man, that's going to take something important for me to get up early, right? Jesus found it that important that he got up early before it was even daylight and went out to a secluded area and there prayed to God. That says something about Jesus and his reliance on prayer. And then again, Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And again, similar idea, a little bit different setting. It says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. All night Jesus prayed. Jesus was the Son of God. You might say, well, he doesn't need to pray. That's not what Jesus felt. Jesus obviously saw a great need to pray. In fact, at certain times, and in this time it was about when he was going to select his apostles, he said, I need to devote a lot of time to it. And Jesus clearly saw the great need of prayer. And therefore, what we have seen in these just brief instances, by word and by example, Jesus stressed the importance of prayer for you and me. It is important. We may not act like it is. We may not do it as if it is. But if you want to follow Jesus, that is clearly what Jesus is trying to get across to us, is that we are expected to pray. Charles Swindoll, a well-known author of our day, talks about being more like Jesus and this idea of prayer and what's really in our hearts and our minds. In an article entitled Becoming a Man or a Woman After God's Heart, he writes this: what does it mean to be a person after God's own heart? It means your life is in harmony with the Lord. What is important to Him is important to you. What burdens Him burdens you. When you are a man or woman after God's heart, you are deeply sensitive to spiritual things. We see that in the life of Jesus. That's why he got up so early one morning to go pray. That's why he didn't even go to bed one night praying. And that's how we are to be, people that pray. But again, the question is why? I'd like us to go into another area now that we don't often go to when we're talking about the question of why pray. And that is, let's look again at an example. And that is David, as he reveals himself and his heart in Psalm 18. Please go ahead and turn to Psalm 18. We're going to get there in just a moment. And we're going to spend a lot of time right there in Psalm 18. Now, while you're turning there, let me just note what we find in Acts 13 and verse 22. There Paul is preaching, and he's talking about David. I mean, we've already looked at Jesus, the son of David, as he was known in prophecy. And now, Paul says in Acts 13 and verse 22, he said, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Boy, wouldn't that be something to have that said of us, that we are people after God's heart? Well, let's look at Psalm 18. You could look at any of the psalms, I suppose, that David wrote, and you would see evidence of this, but this one especially. In fact, we have a song that we often sing in worship that is very much based on this psalm. So let's look at it, and here David is going to tell us why I pray. That's what David would say to us. Here are reasons why I pray, and let's see if those don't resonate with us. For example, verse 1, Psalm 18 and verse 1, I love you, O Lord. Right there, that's enough, isn't it? The fact that David felt this strong pull toward God, and why would he? Because David knew the Lord is the reason for all my blessings. I mean, I recognized it when I was a boy out there in the fields tending my father's sheep. I saw the glories of God up in the heavens. I saw it when I was chosen to be the next king of Israel, even though I was the youngest of my father's sons. I've seen it all throughout my life. In fact, you'll notice in the heading of this psalm, it was written after he had been delivered from all of his enemies. There were so many reasons David could say, I love the Lord. And if you love somebody, don't you want to maintain contact with them? Don't you want to spend time with them? And right there, that's the place to begin. Do we love the Lord like David did, or approaching that? And then he goes on in verse 1, a second reason. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Strength is so important. It's why you ate breakfast this morning, or maybe you didn't and you're not feeling real strong right now. We've got to have nourishment. We got to have something to keep us going along the way. Your car has to have fuel. We got to have that strength to keep going. And God is our strength. We may not recognize it. We may not admit it. But really, He is. And when we recognize how much we need God, we say, "Oh Lord, I want to pray because I totally depend on You. I must have You in my life. You are my strength." Here's a third reason. Look at verses 2 and 3. Here, David is going to talk about how he saw God as Savior. Look at verses 2 and 3. Psalm 18. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." Twice there, David talks about how God is his Savior. He talked about how He is the horn of his salvation. Horn there is not the kind you have on your car. It's the symbol of strength that many animals have. Think of a longhorn steer, or think of a rhinoceros with that massive horn on its snout, and all other kinds of animals that have them. That's the idea. God is strong. He's strong enough to save me. And then he says, "I call upon the Lord." That's another way of saying I pray to God. "I call upon the Lord, and I am saved from my enemies." No wonder I pray. And every moment of every day that we live, we have enemies. Maybe not physically at this moment, but spiritually, absolutely. And God can help save us from those enemies. He is our only hope of salvation. So yes, that's a reason to pray. Here's a fourth reason found again in Psalm 18, and that is in verses 4 through 6, where David says, "God hears my prayers." That's another reason why I pray. God hears what I pray. He says in verse 4, "The cords of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help from His temple. He heard my voice, and my cry to Him reached His ears." He said He's in His temple. That's a long way away, we might think. Wow, that's in heaven. I can't even see it. But David said, "I know that when I call out to my God, when I cry for help, God hears." Sometimes we wonder, is this doing any good? I mean, I'm here talking to myself, essentially. Nobody else is in the presence, and nobody hears what I'm saying. Oh, no, if you are a Christian, and if you are fervently, genuinely praying, God hears. That's why we pray, because God wants us to pray, and God will hear what we say. Here's number 5, found in verses 7 through 9. Another reason why David prayed to God, another reason we should pray to God, David knew that God came to him. He didn't just hear. He responded. Look at what he says there in verses 7 through 9. "Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet." God came down. That's the idea. When I told God of my need, when I cried out for his help, he heard what I said. But how many people hear what we're going through and yet they don't come to us? Not God. God responds. God comes down, David says. And you might look at that and say, wow, I don't remember any incident in the life of David in the Old Testament where those kinds of things happened. The New Bible Commentary gives this statement about it. When David looked back from the vantage point of deliverance, he had been delivered. He knew that it could only have been done by the Lord. And we may not literally see an earthquake or see a volcanic eruption because we have prayed, but be assured, the Almighty God will respond if we, His people, cry to Him for help. Number 6, verses 16 through 18. Verses 16 through 18, David gives another reason why he prayed to God, and that is, God is my support. God is my support. Look at what he says in verses 16 through 18. David said, He sent from on high, He took me, He drew me out of many waters, He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. When I read that in preparing this lesson, the idea that came to my mind was, I've got your back. The scene of a soldier in battle, perhaps, and now he is in a very exposed position, and the enemy is all around, and how can he survive? He knows his comrades have his back. They're there to help him. They're going to do all they can to deliver him. And that's what we're seeing here with God. God is my support, David said. And I pray to him because I know he never fails to have my back. And again, that's something that we can say if we also are in God's favor as his children. Here's a seventh reason for praying to God, found in verse 19. Verse 19, and again, the idea is God delights in us. God delights in His people. Verse 19 of Psalm 18, He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. Sometimes we don't feel that, do we? Sometimes we think God just barely tolerates us. That's not what the Bible teaches. We may feel that way toward one another, but that's not what God says about us. In fact, the Bible says over and over again, God delights in His people, even though we are fallible, even though we do sin. Yet we turn to Him. When we come to Him and cry out to Him, He delights in coming to our rescue. And again, you see, that's a reason why we ought to be praying on a regular basis, because we want to nurture that relationship and we love being in God's presence because He delights in us. Number 8, David knew that God honors the righteous. Look at verses 20 through 22. Chapter 18, Psalm 18, verses 20 through 22, David says this, "The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, He rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His rules were before me, and His statutes I did not put away from me." David said God is there for the righteous. Now, one thing you'll never find David saying is, I'm perfect. David was a man after God's heart, but David was a man like you and I in many respects. He made mistakes. He made some pretty big ones, in fact. But he always turned back to God. He always cried out for forgiveness and deliverance, as we see in Psalm 51 and other instances of it. And God rewarded him for that. When we know that we're giving it our best, when we know that we are following the way of God and trying to learn more about it all the time, then we can have the same assurance David had, and that is that God honors the righteous. Number 9, another reason why we are to pray, and that's found in verse 27. God hears the humble. Verse 27, look at what it says in that verse. "For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down." And again, you see, that simply says, we recognize our need. There are times we feel we are very capable of handling everything, but we always come back home and say, I've got to have you, Lord. Without you, I cannot make it. I don't have a chance. I need you, Lord. I need thee every hour, as we sometimes sing. And that humble heart will cry out to God, and God will hear that cry because it is humble. And then the 10th reason I'll give you, the last reason that I will share from this passage, is found in verse 46. Toward the very end of the psalm, look at verse 46, where David says very simply, I pray because the Lord lives. He says in verse 46, the Lord lives. And blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. Yes, God is alive. You may hear skeptics say, oh, God is dead. He died a long time ago. No, our God is everlasting. Our God continues to maintain the universe. He continues to make sure everything goes as it should. God is alive. I know He is still able to respond, to help. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. He is always there for us. And so there we found 10 reasons right there in Psalm 18 why we should pray. And every one of them we could say for ourselves if we are His people. And let me just note verse 49 as kind of a bow to tie around this package. Because in verse 49, David wrote, for this I will praise you, O Lord, among all the nations, and sing to your name. And we do sing. In fact, we sing this psalm, parts of it, very often. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. But generally, whether it be that song or any other, we have reason to sing. We have reason to pray because we have such a wonderful, magnificent God. On June 28th, 1787, Benjamin Franklin stood before a gathering of men in Philadelphia who were there to draft the Constitution of the United States. And before they got down to business that day, he made this proposition. I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without His notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without His aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without His concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business. What a blessing to have had forefathers that had that vision. You and I may not be involved in anything nearly as historical or groundbreaking as forming a constitution. But doesn't it just make sense that every day we ought to be praying to God? Every day. Because everything we do could be done so much better, so much more successfully if we ask God for His help. And we know we have His power with us. Yes, we are to be a people of prayer. And now we know why from this one psalm. Are you a person of prayer? Are you a child of God? Do you have that assurance that God will hear you? And as a child of God, yeah, absolutely. God hears the cries of His children. So if you're not a child of God this morning, that's what we're praying for. We're hoping, really hoping that you'll respond to this invitation, that you'll decide, today I will confess my faith that Jesus is the Son of God. I will turn my life away from sin. I will put on Christ in the act of baptism, because that's what the Scriptures teach us. and I have faith in the Bible, I know it is the Word of God, I will do those simple things. And if you have done that, are you faithful? Have you continued in that path? Or do you need to repent of sin and pray for forgiveness? Whatever your needs, come right now as we stand and sing.